Hey guys, welcome to the next episode of the Dog Real Talk program. Today we host Sam Turner and we will talk about canine fitness, balance. Stay with us for more information. Thank you, Sam, for doing this today, and I'm very excited to have you as my guest. And
I'm so excited to be here.
And I would like to talk about dog fitness because it's a hot topic in dog's world, and everybody talks about peanuts, donuts, and putting dogs on them. And do we really understand what is behind dog fitness and how we can use it to actually benefit our dog and not to harm him?
Yeah, that's a really good, it is lots of nuts. But yeah, fitness is difficult to understand. I think for a large part of the dog community, it is more about doing something that looks really spectacular. Mm-hmm. And the basis where it comes from, it comes out of physiotherapy, basically, also the use of the equipment. And it is all about working on coordination, working on muscle toning, and core stability. Mm-hmm. The thing is that a lot of this fitness basic work can be done on the ground, so we don't even need the equipment that hard. And also, the other part that's really important is that not everybody, so not every development phase of a dog is suited to all of the fitness exercises that are there. So you've got, because fitness is like the whole thing, so it's strength, it's coordination, it's proprioception, just knowing where you're starting and ending, and it is flexibility as well, which people tend to forget. We tend to get stuck in this muscle strength and balance part of it, so just put them on an egg or put them on a donut and see how long they can wobble for. So I think a lot of the time we're missing the point. So what are we really trying to do? What is the functional side of fitness training? So what do we want to achieve with it? So it's not just putting them on the equipment, which at the moment, I have to be honest, is a little bit what's happening. Yeah. Over the past years. It's just, you know, put them on, and if they can stand on, that's fine. And you also see dogs wobble really, really, really hard, and they're just, you know, just let them there and you'll figure it out.
And, yeah, and they are working hard. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're working really hard. And if we don't do the basic work, we can do core stability work on a platform. We can do core stability work standing on a stable step. We can do core stability work just even doing twists and turns and doing bends, and, you know, a lot of stuff that we tend to not just, you know, we'll do that. That's a bit boring. And we'll just put them on the equipment. And the equipment is a part of it. So unstable conditioning is definitely a part of fitness, but stable conditioning is really, really important. So keeping them on the ground. So for instance, if I go to a personal trainer and they have me do squats or they have me do lunges, they will not put me on wobbly material to start with. They want to work on my technique, and they want to work on my strength, and they want to work on, you know, my mental ability. Am I worried about falling over or not? Because that, for a large part, is, again, the mental part of fitness is also forgotten. So whereas with humans, we work on, you know, do it on the ground first and then add maybe weights. And then if you've added weights, then maybe you can go onto, you know, a little bit of cushion. And then you can go onto the Bosu balls, which is a lot harder still. So we have this build up. And I think, and it's fitness trainers and trainers alike. I mean, it's alike. It's just, it looks like fun and it looks exciting. And it looks very sexy. But I think it's with all of dog stuff, isn't it? And you can think, yes. we're a bit in a hurry, just get to the end result or get to that part. Yeah.
And we forget about the foundations, and basically it's like we talk now about fitness and in general, but if you look at agility, if you look at nose work is not a physically demanding, but it's more like of a skill thing. And that I noticed that people just go to the sexy heights and they forget that your dog needs some foundations, and they need those foundations, whatever you do. And yeah. I think with fitness and everything we do with conditioning, it's even more important because you can harm the animal.
Definitely. Yeah, it is for the joints and for the muscles. And even the muscles are pretty okay because they build in strength, you know, in 6 weeks' time. Even if you've got an injury, it takes about six weeks to heal. But if it's an injury to the tendons or the ligaments, that's like, you know, 3 months if you're lucky.
I know, I have recently twisted my ankle.
Yeah. And it takes so much longer.
Months. And it's still not healed.
Exactly, yeah. And that's basically because
torn.
Tendons and ligaments just don't get that many nutrients because they haven't got blood vessels going through them. So it takes a long time to heal, and that's where we tend to make mistakes. But yeah, people as a whole are in a hurry anyway. Yeah. But yeah, maybe not just with dog training. I think with cats and rabbits and horses, it's all the same. Now, we're in a hurry and we want to get to the good stuff. And the boring foundations is just because people say boring foundations.
Yeah.
But yeah, without foundations, I wouldn't be able to do fitness work without doing the basics, without getting the technique right, because I would blow my back or my shoulders or, you know, your knees or whatever. And we tend to forget with dogs that they are made of the same stuff as we are. They're a little bit stronger than we are, but they are made of the same materials. So we need to think about what is it for, mm-hmm. what is the function, and then okay, so how do we build this body to be able to do that, and this mind? Because I see a lot of dogs standing on something with these eyes.
Yeah.
And they go, oh my God.
Don't move.
Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, it's just way out there and go like, oh my God, let them off. Please stop.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And if we want to define fitness, actually, what is fitness? What are the components? I know you mentioned this at the beginning, but can we just summarize it, like what is fitness exactly? What do we mean when we say I do fitness with my dog?
Exactly. So what do we do? Yeah, and that's a whole different thing from what fitness actually is. So what do I do is something totally different. But I think fitness consists of these separate elements. So it's all about strength training. That's one part of it. It is definitely flexibility, because you need flexibility in the body. It is about proprioception, so knowing where you are, coordination, because if you're gonna step onto something or off something or change, you know, you're gonna do Superman with, you know, diagonal feet up, you need to know what you're doing, and endurance. So it's also the stamina part of it, which people tend to forget. We tend to now get focused on muscle strength, and that is basically it, but the coordination part of it, you know, dogs that can actually step onto something with confidence is looks like a simple thing, right? It's like just step onto something, but for a lot of dogs that is really hard. To the front feet, that's fine, but stepping onto something with confidence with the back feet, so I think those elements should comprise your whole fitness training. So basically there's a lot of stuff you can do without materials. You can work on proprioception, you can work on coordination, you can work on flexibility, and we do not need materials for any of those.
And also, I think, can you work on strength without the fitness equipment?
Definitely, yeah. It's really easy. As in, the easiest one is a strength for the upper arm and shoulder area, high five.
Yeah.
Or digging.
Spectacular, right?
No, everybody can do that.
Yeah.
But we also tend to forget that repeating it like 20 times on one side, it's hard work.
Yes, and then
look at the technique, because some dogs, and it's a podcast so people won't see, but you can do a high five just straight up with your leg, but you can also do a high five by leaning over to your left side and then swinging the right side out and then up.
Like doing this.
That is not a muscle strengthening exercise. That is just throwing your weight around and it'll end up there somewhere.
Yeah.
So looking at the technique, definitely you can work on strength without any air-filled materials. Even just stretching out for a cookie, you know, if they can stand, 4 feet stand is an exercise, people. Teach your stand.
Yes, and I also say that people don't teach stand. It's like either your dog sits. I mean, sit is what we teach. And stand, it's like a balance stand is something, it's not easy. It's definitely not easy.
And it takes core strength to stand properly. I mean, look at people. I always hang.
Yes.
So yeah, but a simple cookie stretch, as in, you know, they stand, they know what the stand is, and then slightly have them pull forward without moving their feet, that is a core exercise. So you can easily work on strengthening and you know, walking hills, but also lie down, stand up, one move, a beautiful movement, totally full body workout there. It's the legs, it's the core, it's everything. So yeah, you can do a lot of strength training without having to use any airfield material.
Absolutely. And when we think about whatever we do with the dog, it should be something that we plan for, and we need to, because each dog is different, and also the thing we do with a dog, the sport, the activity we practice with a dog, if we want the dog, because for me, actually, all the conditioning work, the whole fitness work is to make the dog better and safer at what you do with the dog.
Exactly.
And it is, you need to know what is required by the sport or the activity you want your dog to do, right?
Yeah, so what movements are they going to be doing, and which accelerations, what are they going to be breaking? Are they going to do small turns or large turns? Are they going to have to, you know, switch easily from one side to the other? And looking at what is needed for a sport is the basis of setting up your fitness program. And of course, there's a basic fitness program for any dog, of course. There's always exercises that anybody should, if their body is healthy, you know, really, really important. If they're healthy and they haven't got pain or discomfort, then there is, of course, there's a basic, you can do a basic program. But if you want to do agility, it is different from doing obedience, which is different, you know, from doing tribal, because with tribal, you need to strengthen the neck and the back much more than with another sport, because they're pushing these big gym balls around. So yeah, really splitting everything up, you're taking your sports apart. So what are they needing? Coordination for obedience, really, really important. Yes. To know exactly where the feet are at any given moment is so important, and something that, you know, we don't always work on. We work on this one turn, but you know, can they really place their feet in any position that you want them to? No. A lot of the time, no, we get focused on this exercise without looking at, so what are the skills this body and this mind need for this sport, and just pick it apart and then start training, and then it'll take you 2 years, but then teach the sport, and you'll be done in 6 months after that.
Absolutely. This is so important, because people do it the other way around. They start with a and it's like with a football player, or they start with the body work. They need to have muscles, they need to have coordination, they need to be flexible, because it's impossible to do a sport at a high level if your body is not prepared. Even if you have, you know how to do it. I mean, I know how to do many difficult fitness work, but I know how it looks like, but my body is not ready, my body is not prepared.
More conditioned. Exactly. That's the same thing. Somebody can ask you something, go, oh, I don't know. And I don't know what it's supposed to look like. But then you do it like yoga. Start yoga. It's not going to look like yoga when you start.
No, absolutely not.
And the one I always tell people, it's like learning to read backwards. It's like giving somebody a Shakespeare play and then go, like, right, now tell me your ABCs. It's the totally wrong way around. It's like, yeah, you can't do it. You've got to start at the beginning, and then you can do anything you want. But it is, part of it has to do, I think, with the minimum ages we have for sports as well. And the competitive nature, people, that's just us, isn't it? I'm not competitive at all, by the way, but I never have been. I mean, just, I'm not, yeah, whatever. But the competitive nature of people and this age, the minimum age is not helping us, because the minimum age is the minimum age where they should actually maybe start beginning.
Absolutely.
Competing. We're having teenagers in dog world, teenagers competing with adults. When do we have teenagers competing with adults?
Yeah, can you imagine football players, for example?
Maybe in chess.
Yeah.
Well, but not in anything physical.
Absolutely. And also what you said, that this is the age you should actually start doing something and you can compete, which means you had to do something before to be ready for the trial, for example. Yeah. So
this to be ready to start at the start line, you have to have done everything already for months.
And this is definitely, and it even if you imagine, because some sports like obedience, it allows 6 months, I guess.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. At least in Poland, in the beginner's class, it's, I think it's 6 or 8, but it's still very early. And
smack dab in the middle of where they cannot control their bodies.
Yes, exactly. And the dog has to do healing and has to do, you know, position changes, recall. And this is, it means that you had to start the work really early.
Really early.
Make him ready for that. And I often see the videos of puppies on the internet that they were doing all those tricks and they go into those fitness equipment and they do recall dumbbells or jumps. And how we should actually educate people on what you should do with a puppy. And because right now what you see on the internet is how many tricks you can do with a puppy, what sports you can do with the puppy, yes. And I mean, when you can take your puppy for a bike ride. And this is something I think people don't have access to good materials and resources. What would you say is good to do with any puppy you have? How you can prepare a puppy to be a healthy adult?
If we're looking at basically the sports dogs and pet dogs don't differ that much for puppyhood. Puppyhood is all about experiencing. So experiencing their bodies is really, really important. So free running, as in free, you know, off leash movement, that is really important. Play is really important because they can learn all their movements that way. Proprioception stuff like walking under something, over something, through something, all that sort of stuff. So and surfaces. So for the first 6 months, I would say experiencing with materials without having to stand still on stuff that is airfield, you know. So no, because the thing with puppy bodies, up to 6 months at least, is that they are meant for growing. But if we then start to ask them to build up muscle strength instead of just growing, then we are actually telling these cells in the body to, we're giving them extra stress because we're telling them to stand still on that. So these muscle cells are getting extra impulses to growth, not to strength, but they're actually learning to grow more. They need to have more of them. So so you're actually giving them the wrong impulse, whereas they should learn about their bodies and they should be practicing muscle memory, definitely. Mm-hmm. But every week they change their shape. So every week that muscle is changing shape as well. So if we're going to focus on strength in a muscle that's changing every week, that's just, I mean, that's lunacy, because the muscles are meant for that. And the only time that the body is going to stop growing, as in just growing bigger, is when reproductive hormones come into play. That is when the skeleton first has this huge, you know, couple of centimeters growth right at the beginning of adolescence. And then the longitudinal growth stops. And that is when the muscle starts to gain mass, because the reproductive organs are going to work on the muscles and tell them, right, now you get stronger, because now the bones are finished growing. Because if we work on another red flag, if we work on muscle strength, so look at the staffies, for instance. I know it's not a border collie, but look at the staffies. The muscles are really big anyway. So if we then start to train strength training with them before 6 months, or before their reproductive hormones really get in play, these muscles will grow, but the skeleton is not done growing yet. And the skeleton is soft. It is not fully developed yet. These muscles in this type of dog get strong really, really quickly, but the tendons don't, and the ligaments don't, and the bones don't. So we can actually cause fractures in the bones if we go too fast. That's also with the small tight turns that puppies are doing. Some of the tight turns bones, they have these beautiful spiral little fractures along the bones with young dogs that turn on a twist with a foot standing still. Because the bone is not solid enough yet, they can get these fractures.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, you're just breaking something. It's not happening to all of them.
Yeah, of course.
That is what we should think about. Mm-hmm. Because it can happen, we should be more careful. And I think just letting the puppy grow and experience. And again, look at skills. So what skills do they need? They need coordination. We can train that. They need flexibility. We can work on that. They need proprioception skills. We're definitely working on that. We can work on walking on different terrains so they get muscle memories. Like, oh, how, that's still balancing, but it's not asking for a lot of strength training. So we can do loads of stuff. Just pick your sport apart and then look at skills. What do they need? Memory skills. Mm-hmm. Training tricks and training cues, as long as it's not too hard on the body, is perfect, because you need good memory skills for obedience dogs, agility dogs, any type of dog, basically. So there's loads of stuff we can work on, but just not stress that body more than, because they only have X amount of energy anyway to grow and to learn. Absolutely. And then it's gone. And then there's just, you know, I've got a really nice and calm border collie puppy. Yes, because you just almost killed it doing this much today. You know, they only have that much energy, and they need it to grow. They need it to have healthy bones, healthy tendons, healthy ligaments, healthy muscles.
Absolutely. And they need to rest a lot also.
Yes. Loads of sleep. Yeah.
And I think that if we look sometimes at the pictures of the puppies and we see all those big muscles, it's not something we should be aiming for, as you said, because building too much strength and too much muscles in the growing time can really cause some injuries. And when we look at kids and adults and human world, we don't see kids at the gym doing, you know, lifting weight. And this is actually very often what we expect from the puppy.
Exactly.
Maybe not lifting weight literally, but the same exercise.
We're doing stuff with the puppies that we actually are wanting to do once they, you know, turn about 18 months. Once they're really in adolescence, that's when we can start strength training, not a problem. But doing this with babies is just, it's not going to make it any, you're not going to be faster. You're just going to be, actually you might even be having injuries there that you can't see. Because why do we all choose working dogs or high energy dogs? Because they never stop. That's
because they don't show.
Exactly, they won't show it. They will just keep going. I mean, a border collie is not going to say, I've got a sore paw and stay on top of the hill when all the sheep are down in the farm. They're just going to come down on three legs. So it's we're wanting to go too far, and I think we're actually bringing that age down more and more, because you see more and more tricks in puppies now, in younger puppies now, that used to be, you know, about four or five months old, and now they're doing it at 9, 10, 11 weeks. So you just let him experience the world. He's going to be much better with his body if you give him all sorts of physical challenges that are not very hard, but are challenging.
Absolutely. And also, you said that we can start working on the strength. And I'm going back to this because I think strength, it's important that people realize what a work on strength means. And when the dog is ready, let's say he's at that age that he's ready, and what it means to actually build muscle and work on strength. What is it?
Yes. What is it? Yeah, it means that, first of all, look at the function. So what do you need it for? And a lot of people, everybody says he needs more strength in the back legs, and true, but, you know, dog's weight is mostly in the front. So, you know, they're always going to be stronger in the front probably than they're going to be in the back. And a lot of the times, so if you're doing endurance sports, you want to build strength for endurance. So you want to have, you want muscle mass, but you also want to have muscles that can keep going. That also depends on what type of body does your dog have, because I'm not a sprinter, I'm a duration person. You can't ask me to sprint, I'm not going to go anywhere fast. But once I'm running and once I'm warmed up, I can keep going. Same with dogs. So, you know, they already know what they're going to be, not in the head, but the body already knows what it's going to be. It's going to be a sprinter, or it's going to be a duration, or it's going to be sort of in the middle. And the sort of in the middle are usually not the ones that we want for sports, because, you know, Yeah, not very. So the strength thing depends on what do I want. If I want an agility dog, mm-hmm. I want strength. Yeah. I want him to have fast working muscles that will just go and burn up all the glucose, and they'll just go, and then that's done. Then they're finished. Then they're
yes,
done.
Because it's last just less than a minute.
Exactly. So you want to work on sprinting strength besides just strength. You also want to work on this movement that is fast. So the strength training isn't just standing on top of something airfield and doing course with the exercises. It also comprises of doing sprinting training. Mm-hmm. So having them sprint and stop, and not sprint and jump, but sprint, stop, and doing that type of training. That is also strength training. And for the endurance sports, it's the, you don't want super muscles because yeah. they're just going to slow you down.
Yeah,
I mean, you can't see bodybuilders not going to run a marathon. They're all these little wiry type bodies, and that's what you're looking for. So if you're going to do canicross and that sort of stuff, you don't need to build up huge amount. You want to have them fit, but you're doing your strength training in a different way than pumping them up, because that's just going to get in the way. So it's really looking at what do I want, and then picking that type of training that fits that sport and also that body. I mean, you can't make a sprinter out of it. I got the question last weekend that, you know, he's no faults at all around the agility course, but yeah, he's just too slow. I said, well, I don't think he's a sprinter. He's just not going to get faster. Yeah, but can't I make his back legs stronger to make him go faster? No, you can't. He's just not going to, you know, you can make him stronger, but you're not going to make him faster. Yeah, but is it, and then again, isn't it because I trained in slow because I wanted him to do it properly? Yes, and now a fast dog, you can train slow and it'll still be fast. A slow dog, you can train slow. It will not get faster. It will get better, but it will never be a fast runner because that's just not his body type or his mental attitude or whatever. I mean, it can have multiple factors playing there, but usually it's the body type. Mm-hmm. And then you hear like, oh yeah, but they're bred for endurance. So yeah, if your type of body is bred for endurance, do not go into agility. I mean, why? Go and do canicross or something like that. But why would you want to go into sprinting if the whole body is made for endurance? We are selecting body types for certain purposes. Mm-hmm. And we need to look at which training suits that body type and that sport.
Absolutely. So it's like sometimes you can, because it also varies between the breed.
Yeah.
In the breed, actually.
Oh, definitely.
In the same breed, you can have a border collie that has that is built for endurance, and you can have one that is more likely to be a sprinter.
Yes, definitely. So the individual differences are huge, and the breed differences, they're even huger. Yeah. So yeah, it is. We really need to look at that as well. And you can tell by how puppies play, basically, as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got this really, you know, yeah, I'll get there sometime, body. You can try. I mean, you can try. You might be a sprinter and just be a little bit slow.
Yes.
But, yeah, it might also be that if you keep walking and he'll just keep, you know, he's like this energizer bunny that never stops, but he's, you know, this one level. Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't do a sprinting sport with them because it's just going to be too... Explosive sports need different types of training than duration sports. And I think as trainers... And sports enthusiasts, I think we need to delve into that a bit more. So what does our sport need?
Absolutely.
And then yes. look at, right, yes. this is the type of training that I can do. And then you can actually advise people on the type of strength training they need to do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes, because we just think, okay, agility, so he needs to jump.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And strength training is yeah. just put them all on top of this egg.
Yes.
Whereas
make him stand
it doesn't have to be the best type of training for that dog.
Yeah.
Cavalletti is a great conditioning exercise, but yeah, it's boring and you need to look at your dog so people go in there.
Yes, and you said that a dog needs to be fit when we talked about the endurance sports.
Yeah.
And I think this also needs to be explained because I don't know how about you, but recently I've seen the tendency to really go into these extremes with fit
yeah.
and the dogs yeah. being really too skinny
yeah.
and So, you know, your dog is fit when you can actually touch all his ribs and count them very easily, or you don't even need to touch them because you can see them and all those bones standing out. And when you talk to the person and they say, oh, he's just very fit, he's working a lot, and I want to keep him fit because I don't want him to be, you know, fat and couch potato.
Funny thing is that the first ribs, there should be muscle on top of that, which so you shouldn't be able to see the ribs. Mm-hmm. There should be this nice hard muscle on top of the first ribs. Whereas, if they don't have that, you're actually, he's not fit because he doesn't have the muscle mass he's supposed to have. Mm-hmm. Because, he's burning up so much energy that they're actually eating their own muscle. If you look at duration runners or even just hikers, you know, with the backpacks, how much they eat just to keep going, how much they need to eat to keep their muscle mass, because otherwise they just come back and there's nothing left. So that is what we need to watch out for. Yes, the last couple of ribs, when you can see those, you can feel those easily, and if you go over them smoothly and you feel that hard muscle and slight ribs, but that should be about it. They should, and certain body types are definitely, you know, some of the sight hounds, there's always, they have certain body types, but being really, really skinny doesn't really tell me anything about being fit. Mm-hmm. Because some of them are too skinny. They don't have enough muscle mass left. Again, it is individual. You can't now say every skinny dog is not fit, but there is this tendency to keep them too lean. And then they burn up. Mm-hmm. Again, the body doesn't have enough reserves to then, after they have been performing, to then repair the damage that has been done. Because that is what training is. Training is damaging your muscles slightly and then having them repair. And that's where you gain muscle mass, muscle strength.
Absolutely. And also with the energy, the brain uses a lot of energy. So when your dog is working hard and you do a lot of training, he has to have energy to process everything and use his brain.
Yeah, they need their sustenance, they need their nutrition, and they can't be too skinny. And again, depending on body type, of course, but we need to watch out that we don't, I don't know what that is with people. We like extremes, I think. I don't know. It's just really finding those boundaries and preferably going over them. With the times in some of the sports, I mean, they keep going down, and I'm just like flabbergasted, going, oh my God, but they can still do it. And finding the extremes. But we see that in human sports as well. I mean,
no, absolutely. If you compare the Olympic Games like 30 years ago and to what happens right now, it's just impossible to
unbelievable.
What these people do. I mean, how they push their body and what they are capable of right now. It's like the 30 years ago is more like a game for kids at school.
Yeah, it was. It was actually playground games, instead of Olympic games. Yeah. But then again, when you look at the fallout years later, how healthy their bodies are, that is what we need to look at. And then dogs don't live, very long. But if we see the fallout with the dogs that are going to extremes, there are always exceptions and they will do well until they're 10, 11. But on average, a lot of them, tend to sort of flunk out 7, 8, and they should actually have a couple of years of sports left in them, but that's when they tend to start making mistakes, getting injuries, and they can't recover from them because the body has nowhere to go. They have nothing left. They have sort of compensated in every corner of their body where they could. And then it's just, they fall apart. Everybody over 40 has the same sort of, you get up in the morning and go, oh my God, really? Oh my God. Seriously? Everything goes pop, pop. And basically it's because we haven't looked after our bodies. We've just been pushing our bodies. And that's what we do to our dogs as well.
This is so important what you said, because I've noticed also lowering the age, not only to start with, but also to finish. And look at the dog's career. Like for me, I want to have a dog that is like, one of my dogs is going to be 10 in January, and he's just like, his whole body is like a puppy. I mean, like a maybe not a puppy, but he looks
a young dog.
Yeah, like a young dog. And I don't see aging. I'm really surprised to look always at his birth age, because for me he's always free, and I want him. I can't imagine that he would be, you know, getting weaker, being seven, at the age of seven, and then retiring and being called old at age of nine.
Yeah, exactly.
Too old to do that, because, you know, he has already retired from all the sports. It's like really scary thing that I see very often right now. Yeah. The dogs, oh, my dog, now he's retired, he's 10.
Exactly. He can't live up to the performance anymore. Mm-hmm. And also their body is sort of like giving out. And that's I think, and we see that again. I compare to humans so many times. We see that with humans as well. They, you know, that how many professional footballers stay in professional football as in top game over 30? It's not that many. It's like a handful. And when they do, they sort of tend, and then they degrade until they're off the scene. So and they get all sorts of injuries and it's normal. I mean, the body ages, but if we can take a little bit more care by starting properly, so at a later age, when they are fully grown, for Christ's sakes, when they are fully grown, and then start working on sports, then we can actually have them work healthier for longer. Mm. If we were to take, you know, it only takes a year of extra time, basically, for most sports.
And it can give you years of extra time later.
Exactly. It'll give you 3-4 years. It's weird. It's a weird sum, but that's what happens. And just by taking some, also mentally, because I don't know, I think a lot of young dogs, that's what I hear in, I use the gun dog work. Here in Holland, at least, you hear a lot of young dogs that burn out. You know, they're two, and then they've had all their diplomas, and then they don't want to do anything anymore. And I'm going like, he's only two. How can he be burned out?
Yeah.
How can he not want to do anything anymore?
To be an adult.
Yeah, exactly. They're just going to be fit enough to do everything. And then they've already done so much that mentally they've actually gone through all sorts of barriers that they just can't handle it anymore. They just don't enjoy it anymore. And then if I would just give them 6 months off and go, like, yeah, but you could have just gone 6 months slower. And he would have been fine. I mean, it's not like they don't have a mortgage or anything to pay for. I mean, they don't have to burn themselves out like some of us do. Even we don't have to, but our society, but dogs don't, we're pushing them. They're not doing it themselves. We're not listening to the signs.
Absolutely. And I want to ask you also about, because we talked already about building strength and what it means actually, and I want to also ask about flexibility and what is behind flexibility work. And we have these two schools very often that I hear of. So one is like passive stretches and active stretching, and is it all what flexibility is about?
The stretching is not all flexibility. The flexibility, actually, you want a little bit more maybe, but the stretching is a lot about muscle health, muscle relaxation, and getting to the range of motion of the joints. And so part of that is flexibility, and the other part of flexibility is having them do active poses, so having them move their bodies themselves, because they also then learn how to, and that is when you can see the real flexibility. It's some dogs find everything fine and they can just go to end of range of motion, and I'll just go like, yeah, well, I've got to do it anyway. And usually up till about 2 years of age, dogs are really, you can sort of like tie a knot in them, they're like elastic, and then after that, you know, same with people, it goes down. But the I think the thing about flexibility is keeping as full a range of motion of your joints as possible. And just doing strength training, just doing static strength training, is opposing that, because you're making the muscles much more tight. So you need flexibility to sort of release that as well, and to keep that whole, you know, movement of the body and
keep the balance.
Depending on Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You need to sort of train everything to make that body healthy. Mm. And being able to do a bend or a play bow, however you call it, and being able to, you know, scratch your bum as a dog, that is something a dog should be able to do. Okay, some body types can't because we've bred them that way, but there are certain movements and a range of motion for joints that we need to be able to preserve, and we need to do flexibility exercise for that a lot of the time, because otherwise we're just training one thing. So if we then focus on flexibility, we can keep that whole body healthy and not just work on strength or the proprioception, or just coordination. Just try and do the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And if we like want to put it all together, so if I am like a total beginner and I just saw a great video of a dog doing amazing work on all the equipment, and I feel that I want to buy this equipment and I want to start, what would be your advice for the person before she buys it?
Basically, for materials up to 10 months of age, don't buy anything. Just use bricks, use planks, use mats, use anything you can get your hands on that is normal. Nothing needs to be airfield. If you've got an air mattress, I mean, just forget about it till they're 9 months old. 9, 10 months old. Average size dog, I mean, giants much later. But average size dogs, somewhere between 9 and 12 months, then maybe you can think about getting your air bed out. And then maybe you can start thinking about, instead of putting feet on bricks, maybe you can start the front feet on pods. But before then, just let
the pods, not on the peanut.
No, not on the peanut. Yeah, 2 feet. That's it. Just 2 feet. So I don't go into 4 feet on a peanut until I have complete stability with 2 feet. But also not before I've done loads of work on coordination, proprioception, pivoting, sidestepping, backwards stepping. So basically the dog can move any which way, put the feet on anything you want them to, and that's when I start with the other materials. But teaching young dogs to coordinate their body while it's growing is quite a nice challenge, and it's really interesting to see the differences from 1 month to the next. And somewhere between 5 and 9 months of age, depending on the size of your dog, they're gonna go, I don't know how to do this. Even if they've done it before, they're gonna look at it and go like, I don't know, I can't do that, no way. And then they're gonna go all awkward on you, and you know, then you'll have to begin again, because they need to, after their growth spurt at beginning of adolescence, they need to get in touch with their feet again, because suddenly they're a couple of centimeters further away from the head and they don't know how. And then they have these really skinny muscles because they don't grow as fast as a skeleton does in puppyhood. Just after, if you want to buy stuff, do it after 9, 10 months of age. Before then, no way. Just don't. Use bricks, use planks. Yeah, anything you can get hands on.
So can you use, for example, natural environment and like
trees, tree stumps? Yeah, tree stumps and trees are fantastic to walk on and to stand on and to turn on and to get 2 feet on or front and 2 feet on back. However, the height is really important again, because I see like tiny little puppies standing on tree stumps this high, which means they have all their weight on the back, which, you know, their pelvic joints are also not yet healthy, or well, they're healthy but they're not yet strong enough. So my advice on height, and yes, work with young dogs on this, my advice on the height of your platforms is for the front feet as high as max halfway their front leg. So if you've got really short legged dogs, that's really small. And for the back, also sort of keep that height. Once they're adolescents, once they're going towards fully grown, we can go up higher, but the max is always going to be elbow for the back feet. And for the front feet, the rule to remember, if you are going to work on this, is the shoulders need to be right over the feet. Mm-hmm. If they're hanging, so yeah. the feet are in front of the shoulders and they can't get their shoulders over their feet, it is too high. Okay. So you're actually straining the hocks, the knees, and the hips too much.
Mm-hmm. So that's like awesome to an adult dog.
Yes, basically, yes. Because it's not, there's not, you can go up higher sometimes once they're, you know, once they're getting stronger. But if you want to try pivoting or something like that, or just to stand with the feet high up on the front or the feet high up in the back, then try to keep to sensible heights. Extra height is not going to make it, not going to make it
so
better.
Extremes are not necessary.
No, God, extremes are just going to work against you. Especially, also, I think Kay Lawrence shared an article about again strength training or balance training. So you could do it on the ground, you can do it on balance.
I will attach the link to the tower program.
Yeah, and it's brilliant, because it actually, the conclusion is that for sport dogs, well-conditioned sport dogs, standing on top of an egg isn't even going to help you. It is not going to add anything to your training. Yeah. Now, that was a really great conclusion. And so, yeah, it is, I always call it, it's always a sexy part. I always say, like I said, that every, so if I do a workshop, I say, okay, everybody wants to do this because this is sexy, looks sexy, so we're not going to do that, we're going to do something else. So, you know, it's trying to, and then I have them climb on themselves. So I always have people try themselves, and then people are usually not as happy as they were to put their dogs on, which, you know, it's a bit weird, isn't it? I mean, if you don't want to do it yourself, why would you want your dog to do it?
Yes, so when you try, I've tried a few exercises on the peanuts and then donuts, and I mean it was so challenging even to at first get on it.
Get on
the mental yeah. part. For me, yeah. Oh my God, I'm gonna fall, I'm gonna break my leg, and
exactly. I need a helmet. Yeah.
Yeah, and nobody was forcing me, so nobody was there even luring me, for example, so that they have a sushi in front of my nose. Yeah.
They make, I always go for the brownie.
And they asked me to do it. Because I think, like, we forget that the dogs, they can compromise themselves just exactly. to do something for us, for the reinforcement available. And this can really be harmful.
Yeah, I totally agree. It is, we're not looking at why they're doing it. They're doing it because we're asking them to, and we're usually asking them in a forceful way. Food is forceful for the average Labrador.
Yes, for most of the dogs.
They can't say no, so yeah.
Yes, because often I hear people say, oh, but my dog loves it. He does it with so much energy. And it's not... Yeah, it's not really he loves it. He's going to do it. They're going to do many different things they don't like to do, and even painful things. But yeah. They're still going to do them when we ask.
Yeah. Yeah, and we have I have a rule of rules in my classes, and if the dog says no, they get reinforcement away for saying no. And we have this beautiful choice and controlling of the exercises by the dogs themselves. And it doesn't mean they're never going to do it. It just means they're not going to do it at that moment in time, which is information. They might know that they're not fit enough now. They might be mentally too tired, and they might be physically too tired or uncomfortable. I don't know. I don't get this screen with all the data from inside my dog. But I can see a looking away or a looking at it and then looking at the handler go like, seriously? And that's for me, that's okay, just stop. Just don't do it. He's asking you nicely to not do this because he thinks he can't do it. I've also had dogs that can actually measure Cavaletti. You set them in front of the Cavalettis that you've measured out for them. They stand in front of it, or they walk to it. They're going to trot, and they look at it, and then they sort of slow down and go past. And then if we change the distances, they'll just trot.
Amazing.
It's just amazing because they know exactly what their body is going to do. But you can ask anybody. If I put you in front of a challenge, which is just a little bit different than what you're used to, you are going to do it. Right, okay, let's see what we can do. We need to give them time, and we need to give them the respect that they can say no.
Absolutely, yeah, I absolutely agree. And this is so important in fitness training also.
Yes, yeah, I think that's the core of fitness. The core of fitness training is only when they're ready. and not just if you want them to.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just a few more things. I want to know if you can could share the biggest, what we should be the most aware of when we work, especially for people who look on the internet, they see various examples of exercises. What are the biggest no's you shouldn't do with your dog?
The biggest no's are movements that aren't functional. So 4 feet in a little small tiny bowl. When is he ever going to use the body in that way? So I would stay away from that, because again, that's an extreme. It'll probably all be extremes that I'm naming. Yeah. So that I would stay away from. I would also stay away from, I think one of the biggest pitfalls is that we want to make it more difficult, more difficult, more difficult, more difficult without looking at the functionality of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes an exercise is just the exercise you need to do once a week or once every other week or twice a week or whatever. But it doesn't have to become harder every time. So for instance, placing your feet on targets or on two peanuts, your two different ones, it can be functional up to the point where you're slightly wider than shoulder width to train the muscles on the, can be, so it doesn't have to be. But going further than that, why? There is no function. So I would stay away from exercises that encourage you to make the movements of the dog unnatural.
Okay.
Really unnatural. Like handstand.
I know some
small dogs do it. Yeah, me too. I know some small dogs do it by themselves. I know, but it is not a natural movement. Dogs, I mean, there isn't a medium or large dog. Maybe there'll probably be an exception. Somebody's going to react, but usually no, they won't do that themselves. It's just not healthy. Stay away from exercises that don't take the dog's body into account, that are just to do be spectacular. Balancing 4 feet on a rope, why do we want to do that? What is the function? Is he actually getting stronger, or is he going to get more tense and end up with muscles that are too tense?
So
I think that's where we should question.
And also,
if it looks spectacular and really difficult, it probably is. And what is the function?
And also, one of the most popular exercises I see, it's sit pretty.
Oh, yes. I've thrown it out. Yes, I used to teach it. Stepping away from that.
You can see sometimes dogs that do sit pretty, and they do it naturally, but they rarely do it when they are not ready to do it. And it's like very often you see the pelvis going to the sides and the dog tries to stay balanced, but it doesn't work and the dog may fall.
Yeah. And they have different compensations. So usually the compact dogs can actually sit pretty really well, but the long-backed dogs... For puppies, it's a natural exercise. It is something they do drinking with their mother, especially the large breeds. But after a certain age, it is not fun. And they always have something to lean against, or they drop down to the ground again. So, but the spine is not made to sit up like we are. Our spine is made to be upright. Their spines are not. So putting pressure on the spine that way influences all the little joints along the vertebra and all the discs between the vertebra. And because those discs are not made for an upright spine, they can actually be damaged doing too much of that. The other things, like you said, they can't find their balance. Some of the dogs you will see having their feet out, you know, like the rabbit in Bambi. They have their feet and their knees sticking out to the side. And those are, again, pressures on the joints, which shouldn't be there. And males, you know, they lift one leg, but they don't lift two to the side at one go. They lift one to the side and then twist their backs to do that. So it's not like they're supposed to be sticking out that way, those hips or those knees. So yeah, that's a doozy too. But I did used to teach it, but now I'm not doing it anymore. It's still in one of my books, and we're doing rewriting the book for next year. Yeah, it is. Yeah, people are taking it again. It's an extreme. So if it's an up and a down instead of a duration behavior, it's an up and a down. It can be really a good exercise for the back and the muscle. However, for duration, it's we tend to again exaggerate.
The on the other side of the coin, what are like free exercises anyone can do? With a healthy dog, of course.
With a healthy dog, of course. Yeah, twists, turns, bends if they don't have back problems. Sides, so lifting all the legs, so one at a time, obviously, or two on the same side onto a platform, not too high again. So those are exercises that are good for coordination and good for proprioception skills, and also some core work in there. The I said bend already, didn't I? Yes.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
So lifting the front feet high, they can go higher than standing, but also doing that standing and having them lift that foot for a little while, that's a normal exercise. Pivoting, really nice. So front feet, it can either be in something, front feet, or on something, and then learning to turn.
But we need to be careful about the height.
The height, yes, the height. So having them stand in something, that takes care of the height thing. It just gives you a target on the ground. And then having them turn, but then again, watching that we're not turning them by luring, but that they're actually turning themselves. So we can shape that. So that's a really nice exercise to do. Walking back.
Okay.
Right. I love that trick. And walking sideways. And these are all exercises that I would say, except for the pivot. If a dog's got a back problem, they might run into a little bit of trouble there. But if you do it in a bowl, that should be fine. But these are all tricks that, you know, are really good coordination-wise and proprioception-wise, and they give you great, great, great basis for anything you want to do because they have control of their four legs.
Absolutely. And with moving backwards, it's also, you can do it in so many ways, and to do it well, to do it as walking, not jumping like a rabbit, for example, it's not easy.
It is a skill. It really is a skill.
Yeah.
And it's a great skill to teach. And they can even go up, you know, you can even have them walk up slightly up an angle. That's also fine. But yeah, walking backwards is a really good skill. And I would always try and teach a retrieve anything.
You
know? Okay. So those are the retrieve. Why? Because of the movement of the head.
Yeah.
Or shaking a hanky. So they get this movement up and down or to the left and right. So they're actually engaging their jaw muscles and the neck muscles and the muscles up the front.
Okay. So just one more thing. It's what should we look for when we work with a dog? What are the first signs of the fatigue or the moment that you should say, okay, this is done. I shouldn't do it, nothing more.
So if a dog gets tired, coordination goes out the window. So as soon as they start losing coordination, if they stumble or if they take too long to do the next step, that's a sure sign. If they start looking away, that's a really good sign. So looking away or sniff before they get onto, so if it's material you're working with or if it's something you're asking them to do, if they take a little bit too long or if they take a sniff, that is usually a beginning sign of either you've not been clear. But if you're into your training, then they're probably getting tired. It is also the sudden onset of panting, as in you ask them to do something, they're doing it, and then all of a sudden this jaw drops. That is the moment to stop. You might just be a little bit too far, but that is definitely the moment to stop. Because usually it's at a point in time where you go like, all right, seriously? You're just walking over the materials, but all of a sudden this jaw drops. That is a had enough, and that's usually mental. That's usually mental. And when they get sloppy, you know. Yeah, what I look for, if we're looking into body signs anyway, look for rhythm and symmetry. If you can see it, start practicing, and look for changes in the coat. So whilst you're working, you need to know your dog. So you know, everybody, start looking at your dog properly, not just that behavior, start looking at them. You need to know what the coat looks like at mm-hmm. any given moment of any given day. Mm-hmm. As soon as the coat starts changing texture during your training, mm-hmm. something is
okay.
That means you can look at your training. So if it's a curly, if he's quite smooth and all of a sudden you get these hairs sticking up near the hips mm-hmm. or along the back or at the base of the tail, mm-hmm. that is telling you that the body is getting tired and there's also some process going on underneath. If the hair smooths down tightly at certain areas of the body, that is also a sign. If it wasn't there before when you started training and it then shows up, that is a sign of tiring as well of the body.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's I haven't thought about it.
Start having this mental picture of your dog's coat when you start training and then see if you find any changes during training.
Okay. Thank you so much. I love this conversation and I've learned a lot. Thank you so much. Yes. I will definitely add the link to the article of Kellerans you've mentioned. To your Facebook fan page, because there are so many great articles you write, so people can check it out. And one more time, I'm very grateful and I had a wonderful time talking to you.
Thank you. It was a wonderful conversation. Thanks.
Thank you so much.